Hi, this is Ange.
And this is Dev.
Welcome to Monday Morning Mindsets.
I don't know what to
say. Hey, folks, Stephanie just had a super chill, like her whole entire body. I had a little chill. She got a little message from her angels.
Oh my gosh. If you ever felt like in the movie Ghost, when they first go to see that psychic lady, and like the ghost jumps into the body, that's what my whole body, like, that maybe just what it felt like.
Just so you know, that's exactly what it looked like from my side too. Yes.
Okay, so happy Monday morning, everybody. How are y'all?
Hi, folks. Hi.
I hope that you're smiling, listening to our voices, and you've heard some good birds chirping. And yeah, what's up on this Monday?
You know, I don't know what's up on this Monday yet, but I do know that I've had a pretty much awesome week, so I'm going with that.
You know what? I've had an awesome week, too.
I love that.
And those tiny little miracles that we are able to notice now makes those weeks so amazing.
Truth. Mm-hmm. How did you do with making your life romantic this week? Romanticizing your life.
You know what? I took my romanticizing my life to a different level. A level of kind of being more creative instead of imagining what I don't have, instead of imagining what I want to have. I just started recognizing that I can feel just as beautiful inside and outside romantically for myself with honestly telling myself I'm beautiful and recognizing that my smile is glowing today. And so the truth is I kind of took it to a level for myself, for self-growth, and didn't intertwine any other human into that other than my faith and my friendships and my courage and strength. How about you?
I did a very good, I had a very good week with this because, you know, it was, The book was talking about last week basically shifting the mundane things into these romantic things, right? So the thing that I really embraced this week was just surrendering into watching what was happening around me. Like, and just finding the beauty in that. Like, if it's office noise and everybody's kind of doing their jobs and they're all buzzing around in these different ways, and it's like, that's, this is the landscape of my life during the day from 8 to 5, you know.
So you kind of,
it was
like
very cute,
used our tools to slow down even at work to recognize
the beauty within little moments
within,
yes.
And when we say like the romantic value of it, that's why I said like I chose to do it alone, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so you sitting back, I kind of hear like you probably were watching the beauty of the relationships encompassed around you.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say one of the things I think is really cute is that when we're all in the office together, we laugh so much as a team. And I just think that's the cutest thing. I had my boss laughing so hard on like Wednesday just by a silly thing or whatever. And we just have a really good time. And I think that's just really beautiful because we are doing jobs that are, you know, I mean, they're exciting in their own way, but we're math nerds, you know, so it's not a lot of excitement in that, but we make it an enjoyable experience. And I think that is one of the beautiful landscapes. Just, you know, even like the little things this week, Jeff finished painting in the basement so we can bring the gym in and set up all of our gym equipment down there. And, you know, like I find that to be like a labor of love type of thing. And
yeah.
I think it's beautiful. I think all of that is amazing. I had lots of great experiences. I got
you
to
talk
to my mom and my sister. Like, it's just been a great week. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you're using all of the lessons that we've been doing and keeping them alive. So reaching out to others, making more phone calls or random messages.
I've really been taking time for myself too, and that I think that's important. In the evenings, mm-hmm. I've had a very mindful experience. I wanted to tell you about this. I read a book this week, and it was called The Surrender Experiment.
Is that the one you want me to read?
Yes, it's so good. I'm going to just look it up, all of the facts here. So it's the first book in the series is called, yep, The Surrender Experiment, and it's by Michael Singer. Amazing story. Amazing. So the first book is basically Michael Singer's story of like how he got to be this into this mindful place. And the next book is called The Untethered Soul. And one of the really, it was such, like, the whole book was amazing. But basically, he has this concept of when you let go of the, sorry, my book is playing. I heard a little voice and I'm like, what is that? It was my book playing. I accidentally hit the,
I have the Holy Ghost the jumping in the right. I was like, what? Voices.
All right, what's happening? So anyway, the book is about the narrator in your head. And it's the little voice that sounds a lot like this. Did you lock the door? I think I locked the door. Maybe you should go check the door. I think I locked the door, so I probably shouldn't go check it. And you know what? I'm going to go check the door. Like, that's not actually, like, that's our subconscious mind running into da 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 da. It's like constant chatter. When you start to recognize this voice in your head, you realize that it's just a narrator in your voice, like, or in your mind. Like, you don't have to have this narrator saying, like, okay. And the thing about the narrator also is that it's an unbiased narrator, because if you're feeling one sort of way about something and it senses that, oh, maybe that's not the way they feel, it'll just switch. Like how with the door example, it could have been 50-50 and would have been fine either way. Are we going to check the door or are we not going to check the door? You know, and so you hear this voice all the time, and the whole book is about surrendering into what life is bringing you, but quieting that voice in your head.
Yeah.
So you have a clearer, more open reception out into the world, and recognizing that this narrator that's in your head is actually not you.
So I'm going to extend on that. That's, I can't wait to read the book.
Oh, so good. So good.
How powerful for us to actually, you know, and this is some of the work that we put in, actually, some of the books that we might be reading or the podcasts that we might be listening
100%.
To. 100%. It's helping fuel us to give more lessons, to help give benefit for us to stay on track, but to help our listeners stay on track, right? So, you know, people are always doing work behind the scenes as they're giving help, right?
Yeah.
So do the work and read the book, because it might help yourself, but it might help you help somebody else as well. And that's going to help you use all the tools that we keep talking about. Because the truth is, the next level of that is, you're telling me about these story bubbles, this narrator in your head, right?
Yeah.
What we're doing is making growth to stop that. We know that we don't like that. We know that we recognize this narrator is negative, but a lot of people get stuck in that narrator's head, and they're saying, I hear that you're telling me to break it, but I don't understand how to break it.
Yeah.
And it made me connect to this week's language arts lesson that Dominic had, and I was sitting at the table helping him, and it's fourth grade reading, and it's a Storyworks book. So it's a small bubble story. So what this bubble story is like the old school cartoons,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
But there's a storyline within these bubbles. So as we're doing these questions on comprehension, one of the questions is, how do the story bubbles coming out of Nat's head make the reader understand why she doesn't think she's good at drawing? So, of course, we go back and we read through these bubbles. And what I'm helping Dominic understand is, she's negative and she's hearing, I'm not as good as Drew. I'm not as good as the art teacher. My drawings suck. My drawings could never win the contest. Then Drew comes into the story and realizes that Nat is not being nice to herself. And he gives her a pat on the back and says, your drawings are unique. Your drawings are how your brain thinks. And I want you to keep saying that to yourself. So the story goes on that she then gets invited to the competition, and she keeps saying in her story mind, my drawings are unique. My drawings can win for what they like of my artwork. And so the whole story is, You can break the cycle and you can know that the narrator needs to stop, but you need a friend to pat you on the back and help change what you're thinking. You can't be alone. We need community to change the story.
I absolutely. And I think in community, like, that can be in so many different mm-hmm. ways now. And that's such a beautiful thing with technology. You can find like-minded people. And this book itself is so interesting. The entire story is interesting if you just go in with like an open mind about reading it. I mean, you don't even have to have an open mind, but it's basically so many different things happen that at certain points you're like, for reals? You know, like mm-hmm. that. So that's what I mean by open mind. Not that it's like, oh, like this is so woo-woo-y that, you know, a lot of people might not connect to it. It's not. It's something that can happen to all of us.
It was
a beautiful thing. Yes. So I was to the point that I've been telling people all week, this is maybe one of the most profound books I've ever read.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Like, it was definitely
I love that because yeah. I'm noticing, too, in yourself, you've definitely shifted in the last year and opened up your realm of more books that you're inviting in.
Yes.
You started, you know, you had focused in on one certain thing and you wanted to learn more and more and more.
Yes.
But you probably throughout your whole life have always done this. Once you're done learning on whatever and you open up the space, but some of the conversations that we're having, some of the podcasts that we're sharing with each other, we're opening up something that we used to say, oh, thanks, but I wouldn't listen to that.
Yes.
Right?
I'm accepting the invitation.
Correct. Yes. I'm accepting the invitations as well.
Yes.
And so what I've learned with that, I guess the advice I could give, a tool of how to overcome not listening to your own excuses to open up that invitation, be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you're reading.
Yes.
Be careful what you're avoiding that could be helping you. So if you are like one of those people that are going out in this world saying, oh, it all sounds great and dandy, and recognizing, oh my gosh, I love being around that person that's so bubbly and cheery all the time, do a reality check. The person that's bubbly and cheery all the time is likely opening up those realms and listening to some positivity. So they're not just listening to the narrator in their head. They're taking the offerings because they are ready to grow too. You know?
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
So
I know.
So true.
I know. So I learned about this book from my friend Amy. And
Amy has given us so many great resources. So many. Thank you, Amy.
I know. I just love and adore her. But she reads like no human I've ever met.
Do you think
like,
we could get Amy behind the microphone?
No.
Amy, will you please come behind Mike?
We tell her all the time she should give TED Talks, but she's working up to it. I know.
She's so knowledgeable and
brilliant.
She's so patient yeah. and kind yeah. in how she speaks to people. She could offer so much of that knowledge at a level where people wouldn't feel sometimes when we open up wanting to go to other people and listen, we kind of feel this sense of intimidation. That we're not good enough to be in that educated of a person's life.
Right.
But the truth is we're all walking human beings that offer something different. So what I'm saying here is Amy has a ton to offer, and I hope that she realizes that we really want her to, like, share some of her lessons.
I know. She's brilliant, and she gives me so much knowledge in these ways. But she told me – so one of the reasons I read the book is she was like, this is maybe one of the best books that I've ever read, and I was like – oh, I gotta read that. I immediately was like, let me, how many pages? Where am I at? Let's get through it, you know?
I have to ask you, how do you fit in? You know, your schedule is so busy.
It is.
You go to the office, reality is you are 40 hours a week. Your drive time, it sounds like you put in a good 10 hours between going to work and coming home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 50 hours. You're getting ready time. That's adding on. So like just with your one job, you're putting in, say, 55 hours. Then you're still doing the candle company. You're still doing the podcasting. You're still doing your sound healing time. How do you fit in unique ways to read these books?
So that's a good question. I am actually in the last week, I've read like 3 different books. 2 of those books, I actually physically was reading. Mm-hmm. And the one book I listened to on the way to work and home, because in the car, like, I am concentrating on driving, but I try not to be like a super distracted driver. So when I have something that's playing, then I can just like listen and drive, and I'm mm-hmm. I'm paying attention. And so I listened to the Surrender Experiment. Basically, back and forth. So that's 2 hours a day. I mean, okay. Yeah. So, you know, it was easy to finish it within a week because right. I have a lot of drive time, especially since construction season has started here in Michigan. So,
you know what I noticed about a lot of people when I offer some advice about, like, okay, I used to say that too, but I broke my habit and took the advice from my friend, you know, and tried it. And I learned I liked it. But I hear a lot of people say, well, I could never listen to a book driving down the road. I don't understand what they're saying. So, the truth is I just rather listen to music. So my advice is, as Angie's sharing this, I never listened to podcasts until my friends were so desperate to just give me anything healing, to get me in a positive headspace, to recognize I'm a good person, to recognize that I'm a good friend, to recognize that I deserve this rest. And I said, thank you, but no thank you. Thank you, but no thank you. And it's funny because this past week I met somebody that I shared our podcast with this person right away. And this person looked at me and said, I'm going to be honest with you. I've enjoyed talking to you so much. You're going to be the first podcast that I've ever listened to. Now, this woman's our age, okay? And I said, oh, I get it, girl.
Right.
I totally get it. And it takes making a connection to something. But you can't make a connection unless you're willing to invite it.
100%. When I started listening to podcasts and started listening to audiobooks and stuff, I was working for that company that I ended up, like, leaving the one day and it was not a good thing. I mean, luckily I had already put in my notice
it was one
in
of those
prior, but
unrecognizable
it was
miracles.
It was, but I mean, I kind of lost it. It is a good laugh, but I lost my shit. So
that's why forgiveness comes in.
Yeah,
all
I snapped, and that wasn't a pretty thing. But in that job, because I don't want to say bad things about people, but let's just say that my coworker was not the most upbeat human, didn't have a lot of positivity.
They needed a little bit more love.
Yeah, so I started listening to a podcast. My first podcast is actually by Francesca Amber, whose book we're reading right now. Mm-hmm. The Law of Attraction changed my life. And I started listening to it because I wanted to drown out her negativity. So when she would start being negative, I would just pop it in, and I was like, all right, we're gonna manifest something good. Right, like, because this kind of energy over here is not
so
in my
vibe. So what you're
saying
is that you can even make it through a really hectic place if you just put some positivity in your ears to get through.
Absolutely.
You can zone them out.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, right, until you can't, and then you lose your shit, and then it's a whole different beast. But I mean, hey, I was going on a year strong of being able to refocus. So
I will tell you, and you know this as we talk about friendships and whatnot, I am one of the most forgiving humans that probably has walked into a lot of people's lives that know me. I will forgive 777 times, as the saying goes, okay? It's endless. But that doesn't mean that maybe, I don't know, on 479th, I didn't tell you about yourself. You know what I mean? Like, yes. I mean,
I have to tell you.
You can only tell me so much before I'm going to tell you, too.
I have to tell you, in this situation with this woman, when I was leaving that job, I wrote a very nice resignation letter, but I put
very big of you.
Right. I put an entire paragraph in there about.
In all caps.
Nope. It wasn't in all caps, but it was very well punctuated. But
of course.
Exactly. So I did say some things, like just the reason why the environment was so heavy and negative or whatever. And I preface that with, I have no type of feelings of bitterness or right. like, yeah. you know, I want only good things for this for person. Yourself. Right. Mm-hmm. But, and I put in there, I think these are the type of people you need to look for to hire who can match her energy.
Who gave them advice.
I gave them advice. And so then I found out from one of my good buddies at the company after I left. I had deleted the email out of my email because I didn't want her to find it. But my boss had responded to it, and I obviously must have missed it. So she read the email about herself.
That's awesome.
She was not happy.
That was what mama would have said. Meant to be.
She had a come to Jesus moment because I was like, her attitude is
the truth hurts.
It was the whole thing. She was like, she lost her shit then big time.
I bet you she rethought how she treated people after she read about
it. You know
what?
I think about that all the time, and I wonder. I hope that when she went on to her next adventures in life, that she took some of that to heart. You know, like,
right?
Because I was really trying to be kind.
You were hurt. So hurt.
I was like, this lady.
I'm proud of you, Angie.
Right? I rose above. I rose above. You did. Because that night, the day that I left, I called Rachel and I was like, I'm going to tell some people about some people right now. Like, I was losing it. And Rachel's like, all right, like, you need to breathe. Remember who you are. Like, yeah, this is a moment. You know, like, she was like, just go in there. And instead of telling someone about themselves, just leave.
You know what the hardest part for
and
me
I did.
Is? The hardest part about these moments that I have had, 100%, right? We know each other. We match
Yes.
that. So the hardest thing that I have had to have is actually forgiveness for myself of the shame and embarrassment that I never wanted to act like one of those people.
Yes.
But you know, you can only push so many buttons.
I was standing on the street
before
corner
the water
screaming.
Is going to spray you in the face. You know what I mean?
Well, I remember I walked up to my boss. Poor guy. Now, to be fair, I had given him my 2 weeks. I had been there 2 weeks.
Yeah, you
but
did
it. I had told them, like, I will stay until you find someone. And then this next thing happened. And I was like, this will not be good for any of us if I stay. But I walked up to my boss with my last check. I put it on his desk and I was like, hey, you can sign this now. You can mail it to me. I know this might be effing you right now, but I'm not going to work with this lady for one more minute or I'm going to lose it all in this office. And he was like, let me sign this for you and just hand
Listen,
it to me.
Like, this story, if you're feeling in your soul that you are one of these kind of people, that you have given enough grace to somebody that need to have more boundaries. We are actually giving you advice. Go ahead and take our advice and get out now before you lose your stuff. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, I will tell you.
But if you lose your stuff, don't shame yourself.
No, sometimes you gotta let it go. Let it go. We say all the time, let it go. I mean, sometimes you just gotta really let it go. You know? Like, hey, here it is, right in your face. I'm wrapping it up as a gift.
Because if you don't,
you're gonna wanna return it.
Right. You know what? We're gonna get in big trouble from your mom this episode. Because we're doing a lot of talking over each other, and that's not very professional, y'all.
All right, we got that. Mama always yells at us for that.
Hey, Mama Paula.
Love you.
We love you.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay to lose your shit.
It's okay. And you know what? I texted Angie today. You know, all my thoughts are in a positive way, but oh, they're coming. So I said, from tooth decay to gastrointestinal delay, you know what? Do not cause yourself no gastrointestinal delay and tooth decay. Say what you need to say. Just do it gracefully. And don't wait until 478 times of someone walking all over you. You should have boundaries long before. And if you're starting to feel this way inside, recognize it. And that's what self-love is. And you know what? Here's what I'm going to say. I heard this little service today about kids. And that kids' recognition of the word love in their mind It's actually T-I-M-E.
Yes, that's so true. Yes.
The reality is, if you are going to give yourself the self-love that you give your kids or you give other people's kids in this world with your time, you deserve all of the time for yourself, for your love, to read this book, to stand up to your boundaries and speak up to people so that you don't end up with some kind of medical conditions. But you don't ever end up with shame of being a good person, because you are a good person. And the truth is, people shouldn't push you to that test like that. They're taking advantage of you. So
I agree. And to be fair, I was just learning how to set boundaries, and yep, I had not set healthy boundaries. And that was on me. Well, it's also on the behavior of the other person.
You
didn't have
yet, but you hadn't practiced yet, you didn't have the courage yet. Yes. All these things that was missing in me, right?
Yes.
That you guys are all like wowed at my shine at this point. My life still behind the scenes is not like easy peasy, but my boundaries are there for that love for myself. And it has taken T-I-M-E to really put into myself and recognize how to bring your life alive. So let it go, y'all.
Truth. I will tell you, if you all want to reach into some of that, the book that I was doing at the time that that happened was called The Magic. And one of my friends had done this book, and she said she ended up getting divorced after she read the book. But you know what? Hey,
another
after
book,
she did the practice.
I don't know if you've actually read it yet, but another book that brings me to that is in another form, but very good, the book Boundaries.
Oh, yes.
Right?
I did. Your mama sent me that book, and I did read that. And you're right. But it did start to, like, it started to teach me. I won't say that book taught me a lot of boundaries, but it taught me a lot about gratitude and self-care.
Yes.
And in self-care, boundaries.
All of it will come.
Yeah.
As soon as you open up your wings to allow yourself to start doing your own learning, that T-I-M-E for self-love, you are going to just continue prospering. It doesn't mean that the storms aren't going to be wide sometimes or deep sometimes, but there's always an awakening after every step of the time that you put in for yourself to become the self that you're looking to be. And I'm giving you that as advice from within my soul, within my vessel, that life can just be too short to make it ugly. Make it beautiful. Just make it pretty. And notice, I do have to say this before we close out today, y'all, and have our lesson to move on for homework. But notice Angie and I, we don't really do very well at this Instagram thing. And the Facebook I'm trying to man.
Yeah, we suck at it.
But notice, though, we're not getting our advice from TikTok. We're not getting our advice from Instagram. Remember, we're getting authentic advice that comes from a foundation somewhere in a TikTok video or whatever. Anybody can say anything that they want, and then you can envy and want it yourself. So you decide what kind of, like, lifestyle you're going for. So if you're on our path in this growth, in this 14% growth mindset, and you want to use your tools of the trade, jump on board. And if you don't, still share a podcast, okay?
Right? Amen.
Thank
sister.
You.
Amen. All right, folks, we are on day 19. We're so close to our 22 days to transform your life with gratitude. I'm super happy about it. I think, like, I have definitely felt some shifts while I've been doing the practices in this book. And I think it's fun because this book is meant to go 22 days in a row. But we've done 22 weeks of a practice. So a whole week concentrating on one chapter and one activity really just helps you cement the actual habit. Right. Yeah.
Your
into your life. So this week, and this is one of my favorite things to do, is to create a high vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Today, we're going to focus purely on raising our vibration by doing something we love that puts us in a high vibration. We talk about this all the time. So now, before you pull your phone out and scroll, or you binge eat everything in your fridge, or you call that toxic tick appointment, she says, you've done so well to avoid. There's a big difference between what you want to do and what will make you happy and raise your vibrations. So our brains will always choose the path of least resistance and what will bring us a high, whether that's sugar, alcohol, a dopamine hit of getting likes on social media or getting a text back, or, you know, we're talking about a real high here, like your high vibration.
Make your addiction holistic.
Exactly. So think about activities that really make you happy. There are activities that maybe take a little extra time or effort than the ones I mentioned above, but when you're done with them, you feel so much better for it. Yes. So engaging in activities that you love, like pressing the joy button and the grand orchestra of life. It's the magical elixir that elevates your spirit, turning ordinary moments into dazzling good vibes. Whether you're dancing like no one's watching, embracing your inner filmmaker, or just copying or just cozying up with your favorite book, those moments of passion and delight act as the ultimate mood boosters. So think about the things that, you know, bring you a little joy. And even if it's a busy day, you can still commit into raising your vibration. Like maybe the thing that you do for yourself that day is you're taking a bath while you're listening to a podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, or, you know, your
Monday morning mindset's a real good one to listen to.
Right. You're reading a book uninterrupted, right? Or you're spending time with your family or friends, or you're visiting new places. So find that joy, which we talked about, I think, in the first or second episode of this podcast, finding your joy. So find the things that bring joy to your life. And then have the gratitude to know that you love this thing that's in your life. You know, have the gratitude for those moments. Stephanie's over here giggling at me.
No, I love this because you're going to join in. I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart.
Down in my heart.
I mean, sometimes I sing that out loud.
I love it.
You know what I mean?
You know, so I used to wake up the kids every morning with the Rise and Shine. And we've talked about this a few times. But Isabella, like, literally, it's such a thing in her life that she talks about it all the time, and it's so cute that it's a memory. So find that maybe that little joy is just waking your children up with a little song, but you've got this, folks. You're going to get up in the morning. You're going to say your gratitudes for your three things. You're going to find time for things each day that bring you a little joy, whatever that is. Mine is making my coffee in the morning.
Drink your water.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, like these little practices that we have that just set us in a happy mood and in a happy place, and I have them throughout my day. Mm-hmm. I have basically done so many things in my life to give myself little bits of joy, like, and they're so simple. I'm now putting like little essential oil drops before I get in the shower, It's like an aromatherapy shower. Like, this is nothing. Listen, that took like 3 seconds.
It's nothing.
You know, but it's beautiful, and it's beautiful. Love it. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to just close this with saying to y'all, if you are the negative Nellies, just remember, we do understand life is hectic, life is busy, mm-hmm. life is full of pains. But if you can recognize all those things, you can also recognize the benefits of life in a positive way.
So true.
You know?
I'm just going to end this with a little joy so you all know. Jeff has been helping design a little book reading nook corner for me, and I am into it. All right.
Okay, all right, folks.
That's right. Keep swimming.
Love you. Peace, love, and happiness.
Bye. Bye.